my younger. Hannah
Esther.
Shalom. Good evening.
Malka.
Shalom.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're going to be starting with section 46, the Tabernacle of Peace, verse 192. And I'll start with a L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud kutshabaritu ishkinte bitchilu urchimu utchilu. Udhilu urchimu liakta Hashem yudhe bavavhe. Biyehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehinu am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adeinu ferenei aleinu ma'asei adeinu ferenei. Tachatzei kad itkadash yoma b'ma'ale Shabbata sukat shalom sharia v'it perisat v'alma man sukat shalom Da Shabbata v'kol ruchim v'ilulim v'shedim v'kal sitra dim sa'ave kol ho temirin v'alin v'eina d'rei chayayo d'nu kvad dit choma Rabbah deha bevan, deitar kedushata al alma ruach, mesava laitar shehadeya vedarik, mikameya deda. Come and see. When the day is sanctified on the evening of Shabbat, a tabernacle of peace descends and settles on the world. He asks, what is this tabernacle of peace? And he answers, it is the Shabbat. On Shabbat, all the evil spirits, the stormy spirits, the demons, and the defiled hide behind the millstone of the chasm of the great abyss. For when the sanctity spreads over the world, the spirit of defilement does not waken. One runs from the other. Holiness shuns the unclean, and the unclean shuns holiness. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, to me, it shows the power of the Shabbat over the negative system.
That's correct. But it also shows on a spiritual level that opposites are never, they never attract. They repel each other. And that's the spiritual law. But in the physical world, we perceive that opposites attract in relationships and in all kinds of things. But the spiritual laws are very clear. Opposites do never attract. They always repel. Verse 193. Uktein alma binti ru'ila'a wila ba'enam letzala'a Al Matiru Begon Shomer Etamo Yisrael Liadamen Dehada Beyoma Dehol Itakam De Alma Baya Natiru Aval Beshabat Sukat Shalom It Parisa Al Alma V'id nater b'kol sitrim V'afilu chayave K'hinom den tirim Inun v'kola Vishlama Ishtachu Ilayim Vetatayim Ugin Kach Vekidusha Vioma Verbar Kirakinan Haporis Sukat Shalom Aleinu V'al kol amo Yisrael V'al Yerushalam. Thus on Shabbat, the world is under supernal protection. As a result, there is no need to pray for protection. As when one says, who protects his people? Israel forever. Amen. This blessing was prescribed for weekdays, when the world needs protection. But on Shabbat, a tabernacle of peace is spread over the world and protects it from all directions. Even the sinners of Gehinnom are preserved, and all remain in peace, both the upper and the lower. Hence, upon sanctifying the day, we say, he who spreads the tabernacle of peace over us and over all those people Israel and over Yerushalayim, instead of he who protects his people Israel, as on weekdays. Questions, thoughts, comments?
All right, thought of protection is that in the olive and goodness of God, there is nothing to be protection.
This is the language of people. If you're talking from the frame of reference of Hashem, that's true. There is nothing that you need protection from. But from the perception of people, we don't like pain. We don't like suffering. We don't like illness. We don't like chaos. And for that, we need protection. But in reality, the only protection from that is not coming from God, it's coming from your own actions.
Yeah, sin is a long punishment.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions or comments?
It also makes me think of Sukkot.
Well, that's the what is being translated as tabernacle is actually the word is Sukkot.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's a temporary vessel. It's a temporary house, just like the sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Sukkot is the plural of sukkah. And it's said in the plural because of the because it's 7 days. Each day is a sukkah. It's its own sukkah, its own energy. Verse 194. Amai al Yerushalam eladahio medora dehahio. Suka Duvaina Vizamna Lehahio Suka Deitzperasat Alana Umeshra Imana Umechewe Alana Keima Disharyayo Albanin Ugid La dechalin mikol sitrin vialda hapores sukat shalom aleinu. Yet he asked, why over Jerusalem? And he answers, because it is the abode of this tabernacle. It behooves one to pray and summon the tabernacle of peace, so that it will be spread upon us, dwell with us and be to us like a mother protecting her children. One therefore fears nothing on Shabbat from any side of the world. Therefore one says, who spreads that tabernacle of peace over us? And there is no need to say, who protects his people Israel forever. Amen. Questions, comments, thoughts?
And all the other people, they're not his people?
Yes, all people are his people. But there's a hierarchy. The hierarchy, it relates to the capacity of the vessel to receive light, to receive fulfillment. And the children of Israel were injected with a larger desire to receive at Mount Sinai. And that's why they're referred to as his people as opposed to the other nations. Ultimately, all of the other nations will become children of Israel.
Well, what I see is that even though the Tabernacle of Peace is available for us and it is the Shabbat, we still have to pray to summon the peace. Because it says it behooves one to pray and summon the Tabernacle of Peace. So to me, that was a little different nugget that it dropped in this verse.
What it's telling us, on Shabbat, we connect to Shabbat. We elevate along with the physical world into Zeron Pin and become unified. But we don't realize it. We're not conscious of it because we're still living in the illusion. And what makes you change that, what makes you realize that the Tabernacle of Peace is available to you is when you pray for it. Because the fulfillment only comes when the desire is present. As we studied the other day in 10 Luminous Emanations, what happens, what was the Tzimtzum? The Tzimtzum was Malchut wanting to get closer to Hashem. And as he got closer to Hashem, his desire went away because the fulfillment was fulfilled. If you, this is a metaphor only, but if you want $1,000, that's your desire today. You want $1,000 for whatever purpose today. As your first dollar, you still want $1,000. But as it grows to $900, your desire is for less. It's only for $100 because you already have $900. When you get to $999, all you want is a dollar. Your desire is growing less. And as your desire grows less, the fulfillment goes away because it's only providing what is the desire. This is a spiritual law. And people don't understand that. And it's also why people only die, when they die, they're only half fulfilled. Because what's built into us is a desire for more. But if you want more, you're never fulfilled. And that's the paradox. That's the Tzimtzum. Are there any other questions?
No, thank you.
About commemorating women in the book.
No, that's the religious explanation for a sukkah. It's not the spiritual. The sukkah teaches you certainty. teaches you to Hashem is providing for you, providing you desire from Hashem. So why do you build the sukkah? To manifest your desire for protection. Now, for some people, the explanation of the religious makes sense, and it satisfies them. For me, it never has. I'm going to stop here, even though we have a little bit of time, because of this sequence of the verses in this section. So does anybody have any questions? Go ahead.
I have a question. So if our desire is to have peace every day, as if Shabbat, the energy of Shabbat, was with us every day, is it that we would have to meditate on manifesting certainty that Hashem will bring us peace every day? And do we achieve that by permutating our names with certainty?
Whenever you permutate your name with another word,
okay,
which is essentially another energy, what you are doing is bringing that energy into your soul. So what are you going to do with it? Now, when you permutate your name with another word, you have to understand that word to a great degree. Of course, the Hebrew letters work without your understanding. But the more you understand, the greater the connection. So in the case of Shalom, which everybody says is peace, but it's also hello. It's also goodbye. Its root is shalem, which means completion. And completion means or implies perfection. The only way you can be in peace, which means in serenity, is when you are complete, when you have achieved perfection. So when you permutate your name with the word shalom, you are drawing that tabernacle of peace into your soul. On Shabbat, that happens automatically. But in the rest of the week, you have to draw it. And you have to have the consciousness that that's what you are drawing. So in the question you asked, if you permutate your name with Vadai, which is certainty in Aramaic, or Vadaut in Hebrew, if you permutate your name with that word, what you are doing is increasing your level of certainty. And as your certainty increases, your ability to manifest the light of the Creator in the physical world increases. Because the limitation is your certainty. If you believe, you have an element of doubt. If you know, if you've experienced, if you are certain, your manifestation is much stronger, much more complete.
Hello, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
For some reason, just before the class, I looked up Emor, and just exactly what you said, I just read. So, what is the connection, I guess, between maybe now and the Omar? Is there one? Is this the wrong time to ask that question because we have another class at 10? But that just came to me because exactly what you said, I just read.
Well, that just means that I'm channeling what the Zohar says, because I never read those words per se. It's just my understanding and what my teachers have taught me. So I'm glad to know that that's in the Zohar. And yet, it's not the wrong time to ask a question. It's fine. I'm trying to perceive the best way to answer your question.
Couldn't understand the question. Can't you repeat the question?
The question is the word Omer, which is also the same spelling as Emor, as it connected to today? So is the Omer connected to today? Is Shabbat connected to today? The question is, how do I perceive these differences? And what are these differences? And the answer is, every day is a unique energy, a unique desire. Because what is a day? A day is time. Time is the distance between cause and effect. And at the same time, meaning in the same aspect, all days of the year are connected and unified in the thought, in the idea of a year. Is a day the same as a year? To human beings, it's not. To the unity of creation, it is. What is your perception? Are you in Shabbat right now? You can be. And we'll read in this section, we'll read that. Are you in the Omer right now? You can be. But where do you choose to be? Do you choose to be in the physical? Or do you choose to be in the spiritual? And if you choose to be in the spiritual, what is your purpose of being in the physical? Does it sound like a paradox? It's not. You're here in the physical for a reason, to unify every day of the year, to utilize the energy of every day of the year. And within every day of the year is all of the energies. But they're fleeting. It's a process. The Omer is part of the calendar. It's a period, a process in the section or the concept of the time that is described by the word Shana. Shana has a gematria of 355. Which is why there are 355 days in the normal 12-month Hebrew year. But we need to reconcile it with the annual cycle as well, which is 365 days. So sometimes we add an extra month, and our year becomes 385 or 84 or 83 days. It's where your consciousness is. That's where you are. So are you in Shabbat? Are you in certainty? Are you in the Omer? Are you in the speaking? The word Emor means to speak. Where are you? Where you think you are, that's where you are. The problem is, our attention span is 13 seconds or 8 seconds or 30 seconds. Certainty is expanding your attention span. How about being able to keep track of everything for a whole year? Have all of that energy and bring it into one day. That's serenity, isn't it?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm getting this correct, but is it true that on Shabbat, if you read an hour of Zohar, it's like doing like a year's worth of light?
On Shabbat, an hour's study of Zohar is equivalent to a year's worth of Talmud study, yes.
Okay.
But that's a metaphor. What does that mean? What's a year's worth of Talmud study? Do you study Talmud 8 hours a day, 16 hours a day for a year? No. So another way of describing it, it's an hour of Zohar study on Shabbat is like 30 days of study in the regular week. It's all metaphors. It's, you know, on Sunday we read that it was an hour of study of Zohar. It was equivalent to 30 days of study, meaning 24 hours a day for 30 days. It is equivalent to 1 hour of Zohar study on Shabbat. But again, it's metaphors. You have to stop taking things literally. It's better to study on Shabbat, but doesn't give you an excuse not to study every day. The study you do every day is what you will manifest on Shabbat. And that's why your study on Shabbat seems to be more elevated.
You're not allowed to do anything else.
Oh, no. That's a coincidence. You can do anything you want on Shabbat. But
so you're more concentrated.
You're more elevated. And so you can choose to lower yourself or you can choose to remain elevated. That's what Shabbat is. That's what we're learning in this section. And we've just touched on it in these three verses. So now that I've Shabbat automatically elevates you. It's the only time that you automatically elevate. Now that I've confused you, are there any other questions?
In other words, don't sleep on Shabbat. Whatever you do on Shabbat,
best time to sleep is Shabbat. Because when you sleep, you study in the elevated yeshivot. So you elevate on Shabbat, but as long as you are seeing physicality, there's a limitation. Mm-hmm. But when you're asleep, your soul is no longer limited by the body. Your study in the yeshivot on Shabbat is much more elevated even than the study on Shabbat awake.
Yeah.
That's why many times in my classes people fall asleep.
Yeah.
They're studying on a higher level. Because I'm speaking on many levels.
I think
not because I'm special, but because everyone speaks on many levels. All you have to have is the awareness that that's possible.
Take away limitations.
Any other questions? Our next class, as Hannah Esther said, will be 10 o'clock Eastern, which is 7 o'clock Pacific. And it will be a question and answer period. So I hope somebody will arrive with a question. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.